My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. We spend our lives searching for things that we think will make our lives better, more abundant, loving, and fulfilling. Yet as we take part in our day-to-day busy lives, we often get sidetracked from our truest dreams and desires. Instead of creating the life that we have always dreamed of, we get lost in an endless series of events where we are often unprepared, reactionary, and less tolerant. In order to create with consciousness, to manifest our soul's wishes into reality, we need to believe there's a greater part of ourselves that is able to guide us so that we can live our dreams by loving ourselves unconditionally. My guests this week on Destination Unlimited, Naomi Fay and Natalie Mutia, say that channeled guidance can help us connect with that greater part of ourselves and manifest that love. Naomi Fay is an ordained interfaith minister, a progressive educator, and spiritual leader with more than 15 years of experience in spiritual development and healing. For more than two decades, Natalie Mutia has been on the path of self-development, learning how to become a clear channel through words of wisdom and artwork. Natalie is a Reiki master, Universal Rays teacher, and Metamorphose practitioner. She's also co-founder of a healing space called I Am Light of Love that provides healing support and teaching modules to help clients transform their lives. Their websites are NaomiFay.com and NatalieMutia.com, and they join me this week to share their synchronistic paths and new book, Sacred Codes in a Time of Crisis, a channeled text for living the gift of conscious co-creation. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Naomi Fay and Natalie Mutia. Welcome.
Hello.
Great. Welcome, everyone. Happy to be here.
Thank you both so much for joining me today. So, Naomi and Natalie, please share your respected paths with our listeners and how they evolved into the gifts that you share with our world today.
Our path has been long and full of all the emotions that that everyone has really dealt with. But both Natalie and I, we did a spiritual work with our teacher, Ishtar. She is a teacher in Australia and has students all over the world. And that's how actually the two of us connected. We've been doing her work for over 10 years. And throughout that energy healing work and through our own discovery and empowerment, integrating it with our lives, of course, and moving and maneuvering through that, I believe that the path took us together. And it wasn't a coincidence that both Natalie and I have three children. At the time of the beginning, the birthing of the book, where we were sparked to start to write it and channel the information, we were both going through a divorce with three children. So we went through our own crisis. But the channeling really was a refinement and a practice of over, I would say, 15 years of work, spiritual and energy work.
And prior to your spiritual work together, what were you doing?
Prior to my spiritual work, well, in 2005, when it went to the new seminary, it was an interfaith seminary. And prior to that, I was in teaching in conflict resolution, peace education. I was trained in New York City by really wonderful teachers. And before that, as we go through the timeline, I was always, as a young child, very reflective. I was born with a birthmark on my leg that I had to have five major plastic surgeries. So I was in the hospital a lot. I spent a lot of time alone. I always felt this connection that I didn't really talk about. And I knew that there was something way beyond the physical and all that. So there was always something that I knew. And in that knowing, it pulsed me. I didn't know how I was going to get there, but I just kept choosing from a knowing. I don't know if that really makes a lot of sense, but it's just a story that is just woven into who I am. And the becoming is more and more as I just grow and learn.
Absolutely makes sense. And I think that's something that the three of us can relate to, and that also that many of our listeners can relate to. Natalie, please share your path.
Okay. Prior to, I would like to just to talk about our path together with Naomi. We did do a long discovery on how to channel, and we spent more than 3 years in a special trinity with a beloved Linda. And every week we channeled to release the karma, release the wounds, and understand more what was behind what we needed to release. So it was a very, very, very intense work. And I've always, before that or during that, I was teaching, I was healing, I was doing a lot of things. And I had... when I was young, I was very alone. I seemed to be very different. I was blessed because I was in Africa and I lived in Egypt. And I went to an American school. That's where I started mixing with Americans. And that was very funny because I loved them very dearly, but was very different. So I had difficulties to integrate. And I felt alone. Maybe different, but I more mold into going into the direction that my parents wanted. So I did university, I did business management, I did all that stuff. And one day I remember, maybe in 2000, I had achieved everything that I could dream of. That means I had a husband, two children at the time, a house, a wonderful job, and something was missing. So I went hunting for what was missing.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting that you both shared that prior to this partnership and everything that you've done together in this channeling work and this beautiful work that you've done together, you both had divorces. And I found me personally, and also in the community, the spiritual community, that many of us who had started on a certain path came to a point where we had a spiritual explosion take place. That's probably not the right word, but just a reemergence into that path, because we all had them as children. And that in the process of doing so, it cost us our first marriages. Do you agree?
Totally.
I do.
That we were expanding while our partners were contracting.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is not an unusual experience for the three of us and for many who are listening to us this evening. What inspired this new book?
Divine intervention, I would say. One day Naomi told me, you know what, I have to write a book. And I said, okay, then you write that and I'll do something else with you, but I won't write the book. And then I think it was a week or two later, I said, okay, I heard I have to write the book with you. And we know each other so well. We've worked a lot together that it might seem difficult, but for us, it was just so easy because we were experiencing the exact same thing at the exact same moment. I live in Switzerland and she was in New York at the time. And it was exactly the same thing. So we would be writing, both of us together, on the same experience from a different point of view, because we are different, but bring everything back to the one. It was incredible.
Naomi, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, it really was incredible. I would say what really instigated was I work in local government, and I left a New York job, and it was a crisis point for me. And then I said, okay, Spirit wants me to really get into this work. It's time for me to get into this work and to be creative and just to have balance again. And I stopped doing weddings and all this. And I was like, I need to be in love again. I just need to be in love again. And creation really helps you be in love in that state of being. So because Natalie and I, we met often, I was telling her, you know, the healing work, the universal rays healing work that we have done. I said, we can bring this out in a very universal way, that it doesn't have all that spiritual vernacular or vocabulary, but we could bring it in a very clear way because we're already channeling that through our being. So we were very saying, oh yes, it's very natural. Of course, this is what we're going to do. And we met, I believe, like almost like once a week, right, Natalie, where we were audio meditations, because at first it wasn't a complete book, but it was more of us coming together, meditating, and then channeling together. And we would record it, and we would translate it. I would put sound into it. It was this whole big creation process. And after we saw everything, and Natalie's artwork was the structure of how we actually organized everything, I said, you know, I think we have a book here. We have a book. And we're like, of course we have a book. I don't know, a week or two later, I had an acquisitions publisher in my town, of course, that were acquaintances, not friends, but an acquaintance. Our children went to school together, who contacted me on Facebook, didn't have my email or phone number, and said, hey, I'm this acquisitions editor for Mango Publishing, and I was wondering, did you ever think of writing about your work? And then, of course, I just have to laugh and tell Natalie, look, we're going to have this meeting and all this. And it was divine intervention. And I think that's the greatest part of this process, where anytime that we try to control it or try to fix it, or I know this wasn't us. This was something bigger for this to happen, because it's all about divine timing, right? I believe the two of us were in the place to co-create something, and we were being nudged, and it was just time.
Many of us are familiar with channeling, some through personal experience, and some by hearing or reading the channeled messages of others. How would you each describe the process?
We're channeling. Now, as we pause, right?
Well,
we were both going into the space because we could feel that. So, right, that was the whole body of work, right, of Ishtar. Say, Natalie?
Yes, yeah, Ishtar really taught us how to channel without trying to change it or modify, or it's really, in fact, channeling is bringing down a certain frequency. It doesn't really have to do with the words, but more with the vibration and how you express the vibration through words.
Yeah, and the more and more that we practiced and refined it, of going into the silent space of the meditation and to really coming into divine presence. So there was a lot of practice of just centering yourself and knowing your energy, and then connecting with something greater than yourself, that it is still part of your consciousness, but you connect with it. And when we were doing that, our channels are very different. So many people, we channel all the time, but it's what you choose to channel. You could channel your ego, or you could channel my presence, right? So it's with consciousness of our channeling that we were truly connecting to our higher selves, to our divine presence. And then the energy and frequency just comes through our body. So I do have sensations in my body when I'm channeling, my voice does change. And a lot of my channeling, and Natalie can tell you how she channels through her art, but I channel through sound. So sometimes, or most of the time, I hear it through a song, and it'll come out with just like almost like a lullaby, like when I sang to my children, and it would just be tones, and then words would come, and spirit would just keep allowing that movement to move through me. That I know that is not just me, because my mind is not part of it. It's truly in spirit. It's inspired by God, love.
Yes, we know it's not the mind, because after that, when we read it, we said, oh, we did write that. Because we tend to forget, because we're in presence, so it just comes through and we write it. And after that, we're in awe. We said, wow.
It's a wonderful gift, isn't it?
Yeah, we're blessed. But I think it's, yeah, open to everyone. You just need to slow down and go into silence and slow the mind. You have to allow the mind to become silent.
Your book is entitled Sacred Codes in Times of Crisis. What is the nature of the sacred code, and what is its origin?
Yeah, so sacred codes is all the symbolic messages that we connect the dots. So the sacred codes is very connected, very much connected. When we channel other consciousness, where there's like a galactic presence in terms of sacred geometry that you bring down through you, through frequency and vibration. So just to make it very simple, sound creates form, geometries, and those geometries create more form, and that form is manifested in this world. So sacred codes is really connecting to everything. It's like the tree of life. It's like the spirals throughout the cosmos and the universes. So in every code, and sometimes codes are personal to you, it could be a pattern that you do. It could be, say, a coincidence or a synchronicity that continues that only you know that you connect to. So these sacred codes are more for all of us to connect as one, but also know our own individuation.
And I think the word sacred was because we have to find, again, the sacredness within. We have lost the knowing that we are sacred and whole of essence. We have lost that. And I think it is time for us to go back to our sacredness and be kind and gentle with self and love self, because that will change our world and change our reality.
That leads to a very big question. Why does it seem that so much of humanity has forgotten its divine connection and the codes woven within?
I think it's on purpose. I have the feeling that to know something deeply, you know, for example, I don't know, you have a beloved by your side, the day you lose it, that person, all of a sudden you realize when we lose something, we realize even more how immense or how awesome it was. And I think we really need to go back, because I would say that these past centuries, the sacredness was outside of us. We had to go outside to find linked with God, and we have to go now inside. So I think we had to lose it from the outside to go and find it in the inside. And when you find it in the inside, you can share it with the outside.
Naomi?
Yeah, totally. It's almost knowing that we would, coming here, our consciousness, a part of our consciousness would forget. And in that forgetting, the journey is to remember. And the journey to remember is the adventure, right?
Yes.
So, you know, as we adventure to remember, to remember the pieces of ourselves that are way greater than we thought we were in this 3D reality, that we are only the body, we are only our minds, you know, just in the micro or in every compartment, just saying that we are just one thing when we are absolutely multidimensional.
It's interesting that you mentioned that. As my path was unfolding again in my late 30s, I attended a series of gatherings here in New York that they used to refer to as salons. It was at this house of this wonderful woman who was in her 80s at the time. And she would bring in what they used to call New Age figures who would make a speech or share their information, share channeling, whatever it might be. And one of these evenings, the presenter was not resonating with my experience. And the woman noticed that. And at the end of the evening, as everyone was leaving, she said, "Would you mind staying for a few moments?" And I said, "Of course." And when everyone had left, she looked at me and she said, "I saw that the evening's information was not resonating with you. May I share something with you?" I said, "Absolutely." And she grabbed my hands like a grandma or a mother. And she said, "Victor," she said, "God does not demand that we be holy, but God would love for us to be whole." That changed my life. The concept of embracing all that we are.
Yes.
Without fear. My guests, Naomi Fay and Natalie Mutia, their book is called Sacred Codes in Times of Crisis. Please share with our listeners where they may get your book and find out more about you.
Yes, so you can purchase the book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, BookReads.com. Also go to our websites. My website is NaomiFay.com.
And mine is NatalieMutia.com.
And that's spelled NathalieMutia for those who don't know how to spell that, because I had to learn how to pronounce it when we started. We'll be back with more of Naomi and Natalie after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
"Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done."
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Right now, our country feels divided, but there's a place where people are coming together.
"I was nervous to talk to someone so different than me."
"Me too."
Love Has No Labels and One Small Step are helping people with different political views, beliefs, and experiences connect through conversation, and it feels good.
"This conversation gives me hope."
"It gives me a lot of hope, too."
Take a step toward bringing our country and your community together. Start a conversation at lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep. A message from StoryCorps, Love Has No Labels, and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guests this week, Naomi Fay and Natalie Mutia, we're talking about their book, Sacred Codes in Times of Crisis. So many people feel disempowered today, especially with the events and the divisiveness of the past few years. How may we reconnect with our sacred empowerment?
Yeah, I really believe it's more of allowing us to be present. During this time where we were quarantined and we weren't allowed to gather in groups, travel a lot, it was a very reflective time for humanity. And it really forced us to reflect and look within, because all the busyness and the distractions were taken away from us. For someone like me that is an introvert, I am in service to humanity and to people, and shared my work with groups and taught a lot. It was always very important for me to have my own introspection and time alone. So the time span was big, but it actually was very healing for me. But during this time, of course, a lot of stuff would come up, right, for people, because the distraction wasn't there. And during this time of crisis, for people to pivot or maneuver, it's really important to just be present. And in that presence, a lot of us, if we couldn't be with people, we went outside, right? We went out in nature. And I believe it really helped all of us to reconnect to nature again. And connecting to nature, which is the essence of creation energy and everything that you are, helps us to remind us who we are, that we are life, we are life force, we are the passion, the energy that creates life into form. So I would say the first key is to be present, and then find tools, go out in nature, sit with music that just soothes you to get your thoughts out of your mind, and your focus on your breath is really important to manage your own energy system, to know your own energy system, to know your own breath, to be intimate with your body, your spirit, your thoughts, even to know what you have to release and what you need to forgive and what you need to love. We only know those things when we start to reflect and connect with something bigger than ourselves.
Definitely. Yes, I think it's important to stop. We do too much, way too much. We go with the flow of doing and doing and doing and never stopping. And I think it's really deciding that, okay, today I will stop. And I will do every day, for example, something that I love doing. Because so many people just do because they have a whole list of things to do. And when they finish their day, they haven't done what they like doing, just what they thought they needed to do. So I think stop doing what you're doing. Just stop, sit, and connect inside, and ask yourself, what would I like to do today? What would bring me joy today? And do what you hear. I remember one day I was sitting down and I was frightened, and I was connecting inside, and all of a sudden my inner child arrived and she wanted a lollipop. So we went out and we had a lollipop.
You know, my wonderful teacher and mentor and friend, Rabbi Joseph Gelberman, who founded the New Seminary, used to share that there should be an 11th commandment. He said it should be, thou shall have purpose. How may each of us reconnect with the purpose that we came into this lifetime with?
That's a very interesting one, because very, very often we look for a purpose that is big, very big, and that does a lot of things. And I think the first purpose, the first one, would be to know yourself. And really connect with the emotions that come up, and allow these emotions to be. And I think the first, yes, would be to allow yourself to be who you really are. And the rest will come by magic, because once you allow yourself to go inside and be the magic that you are, then magic will arrive in your life, because you attract what you are. So I wouldn't go looking for it. I would go inside and start being joyful, happy to be here, happy to be alive, looking at things that bring joy into your life, and the rest will unfold. You will know what you need to do. It will be shown to you. It will be brought to you.
Beautiful. Naomi?
I would say the same, but I would say my journey was what I was taught, where the mission and purpose had to be something big, like Natalie was saying. But we're here to say now that we know that the biggest mission and purpose is to be your authentic self. And I think my ego ran around the whole world through my mind of what my mission and purpose was. And that I was charging forward to do this because I heard the call kind of thing. And through all the journeys, the failures and the successes too, the pain, the sorrow, the happiness and the joy, I fell on my knees in humility and said, the biggest mission and purpose for me, all I want is just to be me.
Yeah.
And now we can tell the children that. We could tell our children that it's not what you want to be. Pick something and then be that. Now we get to tell them, we love you who you are. Just be. Find the joy and the curiosity of finding more of who you are. And let that be the energy that moves forward. Let that be the energy that we co-create a new world with.
And to move forward, we have to transcend fear and live courageously. What tools do we need to do that?
Transcend fear, for me, the only thing that will help is love. Mm. In my opinion, everything is love, and returning back to love, loving yourself and loving your fear and accepting that you're fearful and now you're just in shock and it's like that, and just breathing into this fear and it's normal to have fear, and it's normal to be jealous. It's normal. All these emotions are very real and very normal. And very often we are told when we're young that there are things that we can feel, and those that it's better if we don't. But we do feel them. So I think it's love, love, just love, 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 and caring for yourself, caring for others, and. And anyways, we know we come and we go. So love.
I would say we just have to give up control. Cease control, that we can fix it, fix everything. And that the mind will be able to resolve everything and fix everything and figure out and analyze and strategize and blah, 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 right? You know, how our mind goes through everything to figure out a solution, or how are we going to do this, or how are we going to achieve this? And the more that we get on that hamster wheel of trying to control, the fear does continue to expand even more, because we're generating it through our minds. And our minds are only doing this to protect ourselves, right? And, you know, because we want to fix it. So that's why we really feel that it's all about love, right? So we can tell everybody, oh, just love. And like, yeah, you know, yeah, we all know what we need to do, but like, how do we do that? How do we actually move through that process? So it's really surrendering and ceasing control, knowing that the mind does not know everything and that the heart really knows. And what the heart knows is really in the unknown. And that's when we go right into that fear again, because it's the unknown. So it's really connecting to your heart. And the more that you practice maneuvering through that, you will always feel the fear. But as you practice more and more, you're going to do it anyway.
Yes.
Fear is good. Fear is good. If you're really scared of something and, you know, there's a fire in the house, yeah, you really need to run. Right? It's time to run and get out of the house. So in that, it's really in consciousness of how we choose, right? We're unconscious, we choose out of fear. When we are conscious, there's fear, but we choose of what we want to co-create. And that's the shift, and that's the difference.
Absolutely. There's a beautiful philosophy in Africa called Ubuntu. It may be translated as, I am because we are. It implies the interdependence of all people. Is there a sacred code that we may use to restore this underlying unity?
There are so many sacred codes. And we all have a different resonance to that code. And our book, Sacred Codes, is really about empowering and being curious about what that code is. So just like there are many religions, just like there are many faith paths, or just like there's many colors that other, you know, I may like blue and you like green and Natalie likes pink. And in within that code, in that individuation, when we really resonate within that code, there's something within us that we don't, that fear is dissolved when we know more of our essence. It's like we fortify our field. That's the sacred code. And then we find the universal sacred codes as all these webs and streams of consciousness merge into one. For example, it could be through location or place. Natalie and I, we went to Wales, and we went to sacred circles and stones, and we found sacred codes within each of that we felt a resonance to that. And when you connect with other people, and just like we were saying, how the three of us connected and we had a crisis point, or we had a divorce, or, you know, there's a universal theme, that's a sacred code. That's a sacred code. Not only the codes like the flower of life Vesica Pisces, those different codes, which you're attracted to, and you say, well, I like that. I like that shape. I like that. What is that that makes you curious? What will bring us universally all together is all the codes that are merging into one in a way, which is life, the DNA spiral, those things that are universal that we connect as one is what we all have. But our individuation is just as important so that we can weave a beautiful tapestry.
Yes, because everyone holds a piece of the puzzle. Everyone has, through his essence, a piece that together we can build something new. But that is why everyone has to live more authentically, more connected to the beauty and the vibration that is in ourselves. And that is this opening to love. And if you open to love within, and you really open to loving yourself, then you create a new vibration with all those around you, and it's together that we will create the one big puzzle made of all these pieces of who we are, and in which we all have the essence within, and together we will create the essence outside.
I had the blessing of a wonderful mother who taught my brother, sister, and me that even though we never had abundance, we never lacked for the things that we truly needed. How may we share this message of sacred prosperity?
For me, I've been working a lot on this one. I have been blessed all my life. And when I started the divorce, all of a sudden, I had to face scarcity. And I had never done that before. And what was interesting is that I think, or I'm sure now, that we are all, abundance is like the breath. It is available to everyone, no exception made. It is our limitations, or what we don't accept to receive unconsciously or consciously, that creates this scarcity. It comes from feelings, a mixture of feelings, of thoughts, of upbringing, of a lot of different of society. But it really, if you open within completely to your essence, it is impossible to lack.
Truth. Thank you. Naomi?
Yeah, abundance in all forms, right? And I think a great tool to feel that abundance is gratitude. And we've all heard that, you know, there are many books on gratitude. But a simple technique, even in meditation, is to feel the weight of your body, feel your clothes on your skin, allow your hearing to be wide and open, taste and smell, and breathe. And in that breath, just like Natalie was saying, is the abundance. And when we connect to all those things, and then we breathe, I ask people, and I do this, this is a good 3-minute exercise. While I'm connecting to my breath, I smile and I think of something that I'm so grateful for or that I love. And then I focus on that essence within the center of my being. And I smile more and more to allow that light, imagining this light just expanding all around me. And the more that I get to practice that abundance that is through every part of my being that Natalie was talking about, the more we can practice fortifying that field of abundance and love. And then the more that we connect to that and our field is fortified in that, the more that we'll get to attract that. And the way that we get to attract that through movement and action is through discovery and curiosity, not out of fear and control. So the more that we can do it through joy, with discovery, curiosity, like a child, the more that we could connect to the abundance of all that is available to us. A child doesn't lack until it is really very wounded and saying, no, you cannot have that. The pure divine essence and purity is that everything is, I am everything.
I think it is a birthright.
Absolutely. My guest, Naomi Fay and Natalie Mutia, their book, Sacred Codes in Times of Crisis. We'll be back with more after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guests this week, Naomi Fay and Natalie Mutia, their book is called Sacred Codes in Times of Crisis. Another of my teacher and mentor, Rabbi Gelberman's teachings, centered around the Hebrew expression Hakol Beseda. Literally translated, it means all is in order. He taught that it truly means all is unfolding in divine order, something that we've touched upon throughout this interview that you both have experienced, that I've experienced. How may we recognize and find grounding in this concept?
It is a hard one, right, Natalie?
I would say when you try something and it doesn't work, it's not the right timing.
But we keep trying.
Yeah, you try, but it's the space between really trying and not pushing.
Mm.
There's a nuance in there. Is that you try, you do your best. If it doesn't work, then it's not meant to be. But you try again. And then one day it happens.
My personal experience has been, when he said that, it so resonated with me, because when my spiritual path reopened, a number of wonderful synchronicities started. And in each of these cases, someone came to me with something, some information. I had three choices. I could either disregard the information, I could file it away for later use, or if I resonated with it, I could move forward with it. Each time I moved forward with it, another messenger came with another message that I had the choice for. These synchronicities kept building one on top of the other, and it literally transformed my life.
And that's really through faith and trust. When you really know that whatever will be for you, because you trust and you know yourself, you're connected to your intuition. You can pivot and maneuver, right? So it's always with the willingness to be open, to surrender to your own guidance, and allow your mind to fall away at some times. The mind is excellent in discernment when we're choosing, but the main choice in each and every moment, if we could connect to our heart, will always lead us, right? So once we choose, then we get to choose again, and we get to refine that to allow our hearts and our minds to be in alignment and to work together. But that divine timing, this is a path of refinement to continue to be humble to the timing of the universe. Because of course, we want what we want, especially being clairvoyant or intuitive. When you already know, this is my experience. I knew, but I didn't know how it was going to get there. And I didn't know how long it was going to take. And of course I would like it like right now. But I believe that that journey really allowed me to fortify my faith and trust.
It's funny because maybe it was 20 years ago, a fortune teller, or I don't know how you call that, I think a fortune teller, told me that I would be known for my books. And then I put that in the back of my head. I said, I laughed. I said, okay, I do everything but write. And so when this came up, I smiled again. I said, oh, it's coming back. But I didn't push it. I didn't make it happen. It happened because the time was right. But sometimes you think things will happen and they don't. And if they don't, what I do is I look inside. Do I have an energy that is in fear, or do I have a belief that is limiting me? I always do that to make sure that I'm not the one who is unconsciously not seeing the signs, not putting the dots together. So when things don't unfold as I thought it would, I always look inside to see if I am the one who is creating the slowdown. And if I work on that and I release that, if there is, and if there's not, then so be it. Something else will come. And when you ask, I've learned that you have to ask. Very often we don't ask. And if you ask for help in the universe, you just ask for something to come. You ask to be guided, you ask to be shown, you ask, for someone to come into your life for so-and-so purpose, then it comes in divine timing, and it comes in and it comes to help you.
And I'll just add to your remarks, both of your remarks, you have to be ready.
Yes.
Readiness. You have to do all the stuff, all the work, and prepare so that that next step will resonate, make sense, and you'll be able to move forward with it.
Open to receive.
Open to receive and prepare for that. And prepared to receive. Prepared is a big part of that.
Yes, exactly. And allow ourselves to shine, because we're very frightened of the light that we hold within.
You know something? I've heard that before. There's a wonderful lyric written by Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues from their song Question, which happens to be my personal anthem, by the way, the first time I heard it in 1970. It says, when you stop and think about it, you won't believe it's true that all the love that you've been giving has all been meant for you. How may we find this worthiness within?
That truly is the essence of Sacred Codes in Times of Crisis. It really is a book of love.
Yeah.
And the journey, you know, of what we give is, it's kind of like you're on the journey, like it was Dorothy, right, in The Wizard of Oz, and she always had the power to go home. And I think the teaching there is to celebrate the journey. That's why there was a whole movie, right? And to allow the surrender of life to just move through you so that you can come back to love. Self-love is the biggest thing. I think when you were saying when you were ready, I think both Natalie and I have come to a place where acceptance was really key in of who we are and what our gifts are. And just like she said, we're afraid of our own light, is really embracing that and knowing that, not out of arrogance, but in pure humility. And in that humility, there's only love.
Mm. Yes, and the book is wherever you open it, because you can either read it in a page after the other, or you just open it. I use it like that when I'm feeling, I don't know, whatever I'm feeling. And I want to be guided. I just take the book and I open a page and I read the page I stop on. And it's always so, so heart opening. I think that's it. It opens the heart. And when you open your heart, you allow yourself to move away from contraction and fear. And you will be able to see maybe what you weren't able to see before.
Absolutely. And just to add to Naomi's point about The Wizard of Oz, funny that you mentioned that. Every time I've ever taught any type of class, I've always ended the class by saying, I feel like The Wizard of Oz. I haven't given you anything that you didn't arrive with. I just helped you remember and acknowledge it. And that's really also part of it, isn't it?
Definitely.
It is.
Because we all have everything we need within us.
Yes, yeah, so let us remind each other of that.
That's the key. That really is the key. What would you both like your readers to take away from Sacred Codes in Times of Crisis?
For me, it's a daily tool that can help you. It's like many other tools, but it's open so you can help you guide your way through life to discover more of yourself.
Yeah, it really has been a download of frequency of love. And when you're even just reading the words, there is a pattern in the channel that allows you to be in the frequency of love and joy. So the biggest takeaway was really everything that we were talking about is to be empowered and to know that you are love. That each and every one of us is worthy of it. And let this book be your inspiration. You didn't have to live a perfect life. All you have to know and tell the children that you know now, that in consciousness we know, and that's what we share. That's really the legacy that we will bring, is through the sharing of our own wisdom. So this book is really to empower others to find the wisdom within them and to share it either through art, through your song, through writing, through the work that you do, whether it's even, you know, being a cashier and smiling at somebody, pumping gas, whatever that is, being your authentic self through the grace of love.
My guests, Naomi Faye and Natalie Mutia, their book, Sacred Codes in Times of Crisis. One more time, please share with our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you both.
Yes, please go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNobles.com. You can check out our website, NaomiFaye.com and NatalieMutia.com. And write reviews. Give us a thumbs up and let us know. There's more to come.
Yes.
Wonderful. I must say that in doing these shows have been a blessing for me, because in the recent couple of years, every time I've done one of these shows, by the time the show is over, people who I've never met in this lifetime feel like they're my family, like soul family. And as far as I'm concerned, you both are part of our soul family. We're all soul family together.
Thank you. Yes, we do.
I feel that too.
Yes, for sure.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.